الحمد لله الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إقرارا به وتوحيدا وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما مزيدا. أما بعد, we have with us this evening a short and brief treatise by a great scholar and imam from the a'imma of the sunnah of our days, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And the treatise is entitled Aqidah to Ahl al-Sunnati wal-Jama'ah, the Aqidah, the creed of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. And the author, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he's well known to all of us. And this treatise here that we have is brief and concise and very beneficial. And inshallah, in our methodology and studying this work, it will be also brief and concise, short commentary, clarifying some of the meanings and mentioning some of the benefits related without going into great detail. So our aim and purpose in these classes here are to read this treatise in a brief manner and to gain a general and clear understanding of the proper creed, discussing these affairs and issues that are mentioned in this treatise without going into great detail in these affairs and in the explanation of the verses and the narrations that are mentioned there, without taking a lot of the side benefits, but rather focusing on the aim, which is to comprehend and have a firm understanding of the correct creed and belief. A firm understanding of the correct creed and belief, which we hope that it will be a means to strengthen the faith of the believers and to clarify the foundations of the religion, so that a Muslim will be able to have firm and correct faith. And as for the details that are discussed with regards to these issues, then bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, we'll study them in other works that are longer and intended for this affair. So in general, the people of knowledge, barakallahu fikum, whenever they explain or make commentary on the religious works and treaties, they have three different manners in addressing these issues. And the first one is to read it and go over it very briefly. And another methodology is to go into great detail and to mention differences of opinions and other side benefits that are related or that are derived from the evidences that are found therein that are not necessarily directly related to the topic of the actual work. And the other methodology is between the two, to mention benefits related to the issue and to clarify the intent of the author and mentioning the evidences, so on and so forth. So, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we will not go into great detail, and nor will we just read it in a manner without having any explanation or commentary, but rather we will take a middle course and hope to complete this treatise in a brief period of time. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it beneficial and to grant us a good understanding of his religion and to make the knowledge a light for us and a proof for us and not against us. So the author, he entitled this work, rahimahullah, Aqidatu Ahli Sunnati wa Jama'ah. And the word al-aqidah, it is from the word al-aqid. And the word al-aqid, it has a number of meanings. And this is the masdar. Al-aqid is this is the masdar of the verb aqada ya'qidu. I'qid aqdan. And an aqd, it has a number of meanings. Al-aqid, it has a number of meanings. From that is to tie a knot. Ya'qidu uqdatan fi habl, yani to tie a knot. To tie a knot in a rope, for example. To tie a knot in a rope, for example. From this word here, likewise, al-uqda, which is a knot. Which is a knot. And the plural of uqda is uqad. This word here, al-uqda, and its plural, al-uqad, is found in the Quran. Who knows the verses? وَالنَّفَثَاتِ وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. And from the evil, I seek refuge with you, O Allah, from the evil of those who blow on the knots. Al-Uqad in Surat Al-Falaq. This is Al-Uqad, that's the plural, and the singular, Uqda. Uqda is singular. We found the verse that has the plural. We're looking for the verse that has the singular. Ahsanta fi surat Taha. Wahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. So this word here, uqda, it means a knot, literally. And the plural is uqad, knots. A person, he'll take a string or a rope and the likes, and he will tie a knot. He will tie a knot. Another meaning of the word aqd is to sign a contract. To sign a contract. The person, he will make an aqd in a transaction, buying and trading. If he purchases a car, for example, he'll sign a contract. Or if he purchases a home, he'll sign a contract. Or likewise in marriage. In marriage, there's a contract. The marriage contract is called aqd. Aqd al-nikah. And the contract in business is called aqd tijara. Aqd tijara. This is a contract. This is a contract. So the word aqd, it has a number of meanings. From them, a knot. From them, a contract. And likewise, to have a bond and to make a covenant. To have a bond and to make a covenant. So this is the linguistic understanding of this word. This is the linguistic understanding of this word. To have a bond, a contract, or covenant, to tie a knot. Whenever you tie a knot, the knot is tied down tight. If one keeps care of the knot, it will remain tight. But if the knot is let loose, or if the rope is let loose and not shown any care, then sometimes it will become loose and can even become untied. But if a person, he takes care and he ties that thing down properly, then it will hold and the bond will remain strong. And likewise in contracts and in covenants, and in promises and the likes like this, these affairs, if they are observed properly and the conditions are met and a person, he's diligent to uphold the requirements of that contract, then that bond will remain. But if a person, he violates some of those requirements or those conditions, then likewise in this manner, the contract and the covenant and that bond is violated. And whatever was based upon that contract as well as violated. So this is the linguistic meaning. And from this understanding, we have the word al-aqidah. Which is creed and belief. And the aqidah is something that is in the heart. So who can find the resemblance? Any wajh shabah bayna al-ma'na al-lugawi wal-ma'na al-shar'i. Who can find for me the aspect of resemblance? How this word here, al-aqidah, is derived from the word al-aqd, which has those meanings that has preceded. Ahsant. Anyone else? Sahih. Ahsant. Anyone else? Ahsant. Barakallah feek. All of the answers are correct. But this is the one that we're looking for. And the other answers go back to that which the brother, he mentioned. Barakallahu feekum. That the aqidah, it is a contract and a bond, a covenant and a promise. Understand these words, barakallahu fikum, a contract and a bond, a covenant and a promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, So it must be kept firm, it must be kept strong, and it's like this faith and this creed is bonded to the heart, it's tied tight and solid. If it's kept good and cared for, it will be firm, it will be firm in the heart. And this is the issue of the creed. The creed is something that is a belief system. And the creeds, there are many. The aqaid, al-aqaid kathira. Al-aqaid kathira. Wal-aqidah as-sahihah wahidah. And as for the correct creed, it is only one. There are many creeds. Aqaid kathira. Ukulluha batila illa aqidatan wahidah. The creeds are many, and all of them are false creeds, except for one of them. And that is the aqidah of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. The aqidah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiyallahu anhum. So the creed is a bond, it's a covenant. It's a covenant one has with his Lord. And the foundation of that is in the shahada and la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But also included in that is everything that is following, that we have been ordered to believe in from the affairs of the unseen, believing in Allah, the foundation of the aqidah, al-imanu billah, to believe in Allah, wa malaikatihi, and in his angels, wa kutubihi, and in his books, wa rusulihi, and in his messengers, subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa liyawmil akhiri, and in the last day, and that which is related to that, and all the affairs of the unseen, and everything that happens at the time of death until the day of resurrection, and the people enter paradise, and others they enter the hellfire, waliyadu billah. Until the believers enter paradise, and the others they enter the hellfire, waliyadu billah. Walimanu bil qadri khayrihi wa sharri. And to believe in the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the good of that and the bad of that. This is the general understanding of Aqidah. This is what we're studying here, these issues here. Whenever the people of Nar, as they mention Al-Aqidah, this is what we're discussing, and this is what this book is based upon. First, we'll study them in this order. First, and we'll study these affairs in this order. First, Al-Imanu Billah. And then after that, Al-Imanu Bimalaikatihi. And then after that, Bikutubihi. And then after that, Birusulihi. And then after that, Bilyawm Al-Akhir. And then after that, Bilqadari Khayrihi wa Sharrihi. And also, along with that, other affairs that are included amongst these issues, like Aqidat Ahl Sunnah bis Sahaba, the creed of the people of the Sunnah with Sahaba, and the relationship of the creed with regards to conduct, manners, and deeds. With regards to conduct, manners, and deeds, all of these issues are proceeding from the belief. So the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah is Aqidatun Nazilah, and the rest of the Aqaid, they are Aqidatun Nabita. Nabita, the people of Nar, as they mentioned, that the creed of Ahl Sunnah, Aqidatun Nazila. It is a creed, any munazzala min indillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a creed that was revealed and sent down from the Lord of the worlds. This creed is not something that was created or innovated from the minds of men. This is not something that was innovated and thought of on the earth. Rather, it's a creed and a belief that was revealed from above the heavens. It is a creed and a belief that was revealed from above the heavens and sent down to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then conveyed in the manner that is well known. The rest of the aqaid, the rest of the creeds, they are aqaid nabita. Nabita, nabatat fil ard. Any creed and beliefs that were made up here on the earth. All of the creeds that are contrary to the creed of Ahl Sunnah, they were made up and they originated on earth. As for the creed of Ahl Sunnah, then it was revealed from above the heavens. And the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah, it has a number of distinguishing characteristics. Inshallah, we discuss some of them in the work that we are going to read, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. So we have Aqidah to Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah. Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah, the people of the Sunnah. The Sunnah, and it is that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon, referring to his law and legal ways. But many times the word as-sunnah is used to refer to the deen in entirety, and sometimes even more specific with regards to creed. Like the works of al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a work called Usul as-sunnah. Usul as-sunnah, it's all about aqidah, and it's all about creed. And his son likewise, Abdullah ibn al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, has a work also called as-sunnah. And also Al-Khalal, from the students of Imam Ahmad, he has a work called As-Sunnah. And Al-Imam Al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he has a work called Sharh As-Sunnah. Sharh As-Sunnah. And all of these works here are referring to the creed and the belief. So in general, the Sunnah is a word that's including all of the aspects of the religion, especially the issues of creed and belief and methodology, that which was understood and the noble generations. Well, Jama'ah and the congregation, yani the main body, because the Sunnah, it unites and it does not divide. As for the desires and whims and the opinions that are contrary, then it will divide. So the foundation of Ahl Sunnah, well, Jama'ah, they are the Sahaba of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba, Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah, who are they? Sahaba to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa man nahaja nahjahum, radiyallahu anhum fil aqidah wal ibadah wal adab wal akhlaq wa muamala, and all aspects of the religion. So the foundation of the people of the Sunnah, they are the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who followed their way, and those who were upon their methodology and creed and belief, and likewise in worship and manners and conduct and dealings. This is these are the people of the Sunnah. So we will read briefly again, as I mentioned, and study this work in a concise manner. And we begin that which the author, he mentioned in the introduction. He said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen. Wa la udwana illa ala al-zalimeen. He said, all praise and thanks is for Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and the final and good outcome is for the pious and righteous. And there is no transgression except against the oppressors, except against the oppressors. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك الحق المبين. And I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, alone with no partners, the clear truth and the King. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله خاتم النبيين وإمام المتقين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and messenger, and the seal of all prophets, and the Imam, the leader of the righteous, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi, and those who follow them precisely until the day of judgment. Until the day of judgment. Amma ba'du. And as to that which follows, fa inna Allah ta'ala arsala rasulahu Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bil huda wa din al haq wa rahmatan lil alamin wa qudwatan للعاملين وحجة على العباد أجمعين. As to that which precedes, then indeed Allah, the Most High, He has sent His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with guidance and the religion of truth, as a mercy to all mankind, and as a role model for those who work, and a proof against all of the slaves, and a proof against all of the slaves. So if a person who were to ask, what did Allah send his messenger with, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the answer is found here. And these issues here, they're derived from verses in the book of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على دين كله ولو كره الكافرون. ولو كره الكافرون. That it is Allah who sent, Allah who sent his messenger with the guidance and the religion of truth. With the guidance and the religion of truth. So if a person who were to ask, what was the Messenger Muhammad sent with? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the answer is, bilhuda wa din al-haq. He was sent with guidance and the religion of truth. The people of knowledge have clarified, al-huda al-ilm al-nafi. That al-huda, it is beneficial knowledge. And the religion of truth, wa din al-haq, is al-amalu al-salih, the righteous actions. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent with. To summarize, العلم النافع والعمل الصالح. العلم النافع والعمل الصالح. With the righteous, with the beneficial knowledge and the righteous actions. The beneficial knowledge and guidance and light, and the manner of applying that and abiding by that in one's life. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sent with. And in this manner, he is رحمة للعالمين. He's a mercy for all mankind. Allah, he mentioned, وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. And likewise, قُدْوَ لِلْعَامِلِينَ, those people who want to strive, those people who want to work, those people who want to make effort to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal, then the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the best role model. He is the best role model. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ وَحُجَّةً عَلَى الْعِبَادِ أَجْمَعِينَ. And Allah, he sent his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a proof against all of mankind, as a proof against all of the slaves. He said, rahimahullah, bayyana bihi wa bima anzala alayhi min al-kitabi wal hikmati kulla ma fihi salahu al-ibadi wa istiqamatu ahwalihim fi dinihim wa dunyahum min al-aqa'id as-sahiha wal a'mal al-qawima wal akhlaq al-fadila wal adab al-aliya fataraka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ummatahu ala al-mahajjati al-bayda laylaha kanahariha la yazigu anha illa halik. لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. And Allah, he clarified by way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by way of that which he revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the book and the wisdom, and from the Quran and the Sunnah. Al-Kitab is the book of Allah, Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Wal-Hikmah, whenever they're combined together in one context, the people of knowledge from the first of them, Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, and from them, Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, rahimahullahu ta'ala, who mentioned that he heard from a number of the reliable scholars before him, that this word al-hikmah, whenever it's mentioned in this context, is referring to the sunnah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified by way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by way of that which he revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min al-kitabi wal-hikmah, from the book and from the sunnah, everything that the people, they need, everything that is in the best interest and benefit for the slaves and for the uprightness and steadfastness of their circumstances and situations in their religious and worldly affairs, from the understanding of the correct creeds, and likewise the upright actions and deeds
and the virtuous and lofty noble manners. And the virtuous and lofty noble manners. So therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left his ummah and he left his followers sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon the clear path. Upon the clear path. Its night is like its day. Its night is like its day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with guidance and light, as has preceded, and he left his nation and followers upon the clearest path, al-muhajja al-bayla, and in the white and clear path. And something that is white and clear than anything that is contrary to that, it can be seen. And that's the intent from the mentioning of these terms. Layluha kanahariha, its night is like its day. Yani the path and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so clear, it's like a white path. For example, we have a white thobe. If anything came to the thobe that is not from it, whatever color it may be, any blemishes, whether small or large, they will stand out on the white thobe. And a person, he'll be able to identify very easily that is not from that white thobe, that this is a blemish and something that is added to there. This is something that is wrong, not supposed to be there. It's a smear or a smudge or a spill and the likes like this. A person, he'll identify that very quickly. So this is the example of the path that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left us upon. It's very clear. It's very clear. Anything that's an addition or not from it, or anything that is added to it, or anything that is ascribed to it, but it's not truly from it, that is not truly from it, a person who has knowledge of that clear path, he will be able to identify that very easily. He'll be able to identify that very easily. Or if there's any deficiency or anything left off, likewise, because the path is so clear, a person, he will be able to see it and realize that that issue here is not mentioned or not being followed properly, or that issue here is an addition. It's not from it. All of this is from the aspects of falsehood, because that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was upon is very clear. It's night is like its day. And in the same way that a person can see clearly in the daytime, he can see just as clear at nighttime. There's no ambiguity in the foundations and the fundamentals of the creed and methodology and way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam whatsoever. No one will go away from this clear path except he will be destroyed. Except he will be destroyed. In reference to the hadith of Al-Irbath ibn Sariyah radiallahu anhu, which is well known. I have a question for you. Barakallahu fikum. Here he mentioned, rahimahullah, that Allah, he clarified by way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which he revealed to him from the Quran and the Sunnah, everything that the slaves, the people, they need for the goodness of their worldly life and for their situations and circumstances in the religious and worldly affairs to be upright, proper, and good. And he said, from al-aqaid, as-sahiha, from the correct creeds. So the word al-aqaid is the plural of aqidah. Is the plural of al-aqidah. And we just mentioned previously that the aqidah is one. But here the Shaykh is telling us that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had come with the clarification of all of the correct creeds. And that's how it will be translated, right? Al-aqaid as-sahiha. So here the creed is being referred to in a plural sense, the correct creeds. But I just mentioned previously, if you remember, that the aqaid, al-aqaid kathira, وَالْأَقِيدَةَ الصَّحِيحَ وَاحِدَةَ. The creeds are many, but the correct creed is only one. So all of the other creeds, they are falsehood. So what is the aspect, or how is this understood, this word here being used in the plural sense? Here he's saying that there are aqa'id sahiha, that there are the authentic creeds. Allah, he sent his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to clarify the authentic creeds. But we just agreed previously that the creeds, although there are many, only one of them is correct. Only one of them is correct. But here the Shaykh is telling us that there are obviously more than one that is correct, because the word aqaid is plural, and plural is three or more. It's three or more. Understand the question? Everybody with me? How do we understand this? Naam. La, al-aqidah takhtalif an al-shara'a. Shara'a is the legislation and the actions. Barakallahu feekum. One issue with regards to aqidah is that the aqidah is one. All of the prophets and messengers, they have the same creed. So the creed is something that is established and it never changes. It has never changed. All of the prophets and messengers, they believe in Allah and his angels and his books and his messengers in the last day and in the decree, the good and the bad. The creed is never changed. It never changes. It's never abrogated. It's always one. Adam, he had the same creed that the people of Sunnah have today. Alayhi salatu wassalam. Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, and Isa. Alayhi salatu wassalam. And all of the noble prophets and messengers. Alayhi salatu wassalam. They have the same exact creed as the people of Sunnah today. They have, yes. Ahsanta, barakallahu fiq, jazakallahu khairan. This is the correct answer. So the creed is one. But if we look at it in a detailed aspect, we'll find that this one creed consists of a number of creeds. The creed in Allah, we have aqidatu tawheed. Aqidatu at-tawheed, the creed of at-tawheed with regards to Allah. Even in there, we have the aqidah of al-rububiyyah and al-uluhiyyah, wal-asma'i wa-sifat. Wal-asma'i wa-sifat. And then likewise, we have the aqidah with regards to the angels, and the aqidah with regards to the books, and the aqidah with regards to the prophets and messengers. We have the aqidah with regards to the last day. We have the aqidah with regards to the questions in the grave. We have the aqidah with regards to the scales and the books that are weighed. We have the aqidah with regards to the hold of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have the aqidah with regards to the Jannah and the Nar. And there are issues and creeds and beliefs that are related to these affairs in detail, in detail, in detail. So we believe in them in general. This is from the aqidah. But then in each one of these points here, there's a creed. There's a detailed creed with regards to them, with regard as well in the qadr. We have the aqidah and the creed with regards to the qadr and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah with regards to the Sahaba. Radiallahu anhum. So the creeds, any from this detailed aspect, are many which make up the creed. These different belief systems, we have a creed is a belief system that's structured. So there's a structured, proper belief system in each one of these points. And in other affairs likewise, there's the aqidah of the sirat. There's the aqidah of the sirat and believing in the sirat, so on and so forth. So we have all of these different issues that make up the creed. So whenever it's being referred to here in this plural form, what is intended? Each individual aspect of the creed. Each individual aspect of the creed. Because if a person, he were to have a mistake in one of these fundamentals, then he would leave the fold of the sunnah. He would leave the fold of the sunnah. If a person, he believed in some aspects and then he had a problem in another, then he would leave the sunnah in this manner. The Qadariyah, they had an issue with the Qadr. The Khawarij, they had an issue with regards to the rulers, so on and so forth. And in this manner, they leave. In this manner, they leave the Sunnah. The Khariji, he's not from Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The Qadari, he's not from Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The Murji'ah, they had an issue with one of these creeds. Aqidatul Iman. Al-Imanu Qawlun wa'amal. Al-Imanu Qawlun wa'amal. They had an issue with that. So for this reason, the Murji'ah are not from Ahlul Sunnah. The Murji'ah are not from Ahlul Sunnah. The Mu'tazila, they're not from Ahlul Sunnah because they oppose the principle. So if a person he opposes one of these principles, one of these aqidah from the aqa'id, the sahihah, he will leave the Sunnah. He will leave the Sunnah. So this is the answer here that the brother he mentioned, barakallahu fikum, that there are many different aspects of individual beliefs that make up the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That make up the creed of Ahlul Sunnah. So he says, Rahimahullah, فَصَارَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ أُمَّتُهُ عَلَذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَهُمْ خِيرَةُ الْخَلْقِ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ وَالتَّابِعِينَ وَهُمْ خِيرَةُ الْخَلْقِ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ وَالتَّابِعِينَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ. He said, and so those who responded to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from His followers, from His Ummah, then they are traversing upon His way. They are traversing upon this way, and they are the best of the creation from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. And from the best of the creation from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Those who follow them precisely. Those who follow them precisely. So those who follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the manner that is correct, they responded to the call of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to that which will give them life, they are the best of the creation, the best of the people. And they are from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. The Sahaba and the Tabi'een. Who are the Sahaba? Huh? The companions. The companions. What is the definition of a Sahabi? Who is a companion? Who is considered a companion? No? Uh-huh. Ahsant. This is good. What? Say it again. Someone who saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he believed in him sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he died upon faith. He died upon faith. This is one definition. This is one definition. What were you going to say? The same thing. Anybody have another definition, or maybe someone can point out a fault some of the people of knowledge they mentioned? Uh-huh. Allahu Akbar. Ahsanta. Naam. Uh-huh. Ahsanta. Ahsanta. Barakallahu fi. This is what Abu Wahi mentioned likewise. So what was mentioned, this is correct. And either one who saw in general, but some of the people of knowledge from them, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, he mentioned a more concise definition that would include all of the companions and not exclude any of them, because some of the companions, radiyallahu anhum, they're blind and they are not able to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktum radiyallahu anhu. So he was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the best of them, and he was the muadhin of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he lived along his side radiyallahu anhu. But he never saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he was blind. So a more concise or inclusive definition would be to say man laqiya an-nabiyya sallallahu alaihi wasallam mu'minan bihi wa mata ala dhalika. So the one who met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam believing in him and he died upon that. So someone who met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and apparently, outwardly believed in him, but he did not die upon Islam, he's not a Sahabi. And this would not happen to a true companion. Rather, if this occurred, then that individual was a munafiq. That's why he did not die upon Islam. So the one who lived and met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and believed in him and died upon al-Islam, then he is considered a companion. What about someone who lived in the same time as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet he did not meet him? He did not meet him. Who is this? What is he called? Is he a companion? Someone, for example, he lived in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He heard the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He believed in him and followed him. Yet he never met him. Like who? Like An-Najashi. Like An-Najashi. Naam. Always in the Qarani. Naam. These are individuals that are considered. They're called al-Muhadramun. They're not from the companions. Although they lived in the same time as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they never met him. So they don't have the level of suhbah, companionship. They're from the kibar al-tabi'in. They're called al-Muhadramun, and they are in a level under. So those individuals whom Allah had selected and chosen to see the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to believe in him and to follow him and to die upon Islam, they have a status that no one after them can reach. And even besides the prophets and messengers, so a companion is man laqiya an-nabiyya sallallahu alaihi wasallam mu'minan bihi wa mata ala al-Islam. The one who met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam believing in him, and he died upon al-Islam. This is important to understand with regards to our creed. And as for the tabi'un, then this is someone man laqiya as-sahabi mu'minan bin nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa mata ala al-Islam. Someone who met a companion radiyallahu anhum, and he believed in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he died upon al-Islam. This is called a tabi'in. After them is the atba'a tabi'in. So he mentioned here those from the best generations, we always find that it's mentioned the Sahaba. And then after that, those who follow them precisely. So you never find the mention of Sahaba and restricted with them those who follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam precisely. Yani waladina tabu'uhum bi ihsan. So al-ittiba' bi ihsan is a restriction that's mentioned only with those who come after the companions. It's never mentioned with the companions. You understand that part? So we follow the companions, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sahabatuhu. وَالَذِينَ تَبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ and those who follow them in goodness. So to follow in goodness is a condition and a restriction and requirement for those who come after the companions. As for the companions, then there's no need to mention that. رضي الله عنهم. Why is this? Because all of them are upright and noble and selected and chosen to be the companions and followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they're the role models. They're the role models. They're the role models in following the role model, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We understand this? So they are the ones who had followed precisely and exactly the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the restriction for those after them is to follow them in the best manner, in truthfulness, and in goodness. So the Sahaba, they have reached a level that is high and lofty that no one can reach. The only way to come close to the level is to follow them bi ihsan, to follow them bi ihsan. So there's a condition for those after them to be upon the right and good path, and that is to follow them with ihsan. And this is because they had already been selected and chosen to be the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they followed him precisely and exactly bi ihsan. So this is a clarification likewise of the lofty status of the noble companions of the Allahu anhum. So he says, فَقَامُوا بِشَرِيَتِهِ وَتَمَسَّكُوا بِسُنَّتِهِ وَعَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِثِ عَقِيدَةً وَعِبَادَةً وَخُلُقًا وَأَدَبًا. And these individuals here, and he referring to the companions, رضي الله عنهم, and the tabi'un, and those who followed them precisely and correctly, that they established his legislation, صلى الله عليه وسلم, فَقَامُوا بِشَرِيَتِهِ. They established in their life and through the lands the Sharia of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they held fast to his Sunnah, his law and legal ways, and they bit onto that with their molar teeth, meaning they're holding fast to that in the most proper and strongest manner. Aqidatan wa ibadatan wa khuluqan wa adaba, in their creed and in their worship and their manners and conduct, and their manners and conduct. These words are important. Not just holding on fast in creed. Not just holding on fast in creed and then contradicting in worship, or not just holding fast in worship and contradicting in creed, or not just holding fast in creed and worship and contradicting in manners and behavior and conduct. Rather, all of these affairs. And whenever the creed is understood properly and is cultivated correctly, then these issues will become rectified, and this is the fruit of the proper creed. So deficiency in a person's life, in his worship, in his manners, in his conduct, in his dealings only refers back to a deficiency and weakness in his faith. A deficiency and weakness in his faith. Meaning that a person, he can learn the foundation of the creed, and it can be generally correct, but after that, he must cultivate it and nourish it, and purify it, and keep it strong and good. Because although a person, maybe he knows the truth, he might fall deficient, and have weakness in his soul in applying it and acting with regards to it. And this is in reality a deficiency in his faith itself. A deficiency in his faith itself. Had his faith been strong, it would carry him. It would carry him to perform the obligations. It would carry him to leave off the prohibitions. It would carry him to check his tongue and to lower his gaze. It would carry him to think before he speaks. It would carry him to repent often. This is the fruit of the good creed and the sincere faith. As for the one who has knowledge of these affairs, but it did not sink into his heart until it changes his manners and conduct, and the way that he moves, and the way that he thinks, the way that he speaks, and the way that he conducts himself, then it has not truly settled into his heart. It's there, but it's not truly deep rooted into his heart until it produces the fruits of action. It is he, Allah, who sent his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with guidance, the beneficial knowledge which goes into the heart, and the religion of truth, the righteous actions. So that knowledge will not truly be beneficial for a person until it sinks into his heart and resides deep, and it produces the fruit of actions. And those actions and statements are a testification of the authenticity of his creed. and the correctness of his faith and his belief. And the correctness of his faith and his belief. So he said, Rahimahullah, فصاروهم من طائفة الذين لا يزالون على الحق ظاهرين لا يضرهم من خذلهم أو خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله تعالى وهم على ذلك. And so they had become, these people here, referring to the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and those who followed them precisely, at the head of them, the Atba' al-Tabi'een, رضي الله عنهم أجمعين, they have become, by establishing the religion in the manner that has preceded, الطائفه الذين لا يزالون على الحق ظاهرين, that group, that party that always remain upon the truth, apparent and victorious, لا يضرهم من خذلهم او خالفهم, and no harm will come to them from those who abandon them nor those who oppose them, حتى ياتي امر الله تعالى وهم على ذلك, until the command of Allah comes and they are upon that, and they are upon that way, and upon the establishment of the Sharia that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, holding fast to that and biting onto that with their mortal teeth, not letting go for anything or anyone, not moved by the desires and the whims or the suggestions and the inclinations of the devil, nor by the customs of the people. Rather, they love and they prefer the law and legislation and the creed and the belief and the methodology and way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam over everything. So in this manner, no harm will come to them from those who abandon them. No harm will come to them from those who find fault with them. No harm will come to them from those who mock them or laugh at them or try to defame them or oppose them or try to belittle them. No harm will come to them whatsoever. حَتَّى يَأْتِي أَمْرُ اللَّهِ وَهُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ, until the command of Allah the Most High comes and they are upon this way, in reference to the well-known narration, which is narrated by a number of companions. لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق لا يضرهم من خالفهم أو خالفهم لا يضرهم من خذلهم أو خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم كذلك وهم كذلك. So the author, he says, رحمه الله, ونحن ولله الحمد على أثارهم سائرون وبسيرتهم المؤيدة بالكتاب والسنة مهتدون نقول ذلك تحدثا بنعمة الله تعالى وبيانا لما يجب أن يكون عليه كل مؤمن. He says, and we, and all praise and thanks is for Allah alone, and we, and all praise and thanks is for Allah alone, are upon their footsteps. We are traversing upon their footsteps and following their way, which is aided by the book and the sunnah, and guided, which is aided, and we are following their footsteps and their way, aided by the book and the sunnah, and being upright guided. We say this speaking about the blessing of Allah the Most High and clarification of that which is an obligation for every believer to believe in, and to follow. So the author, he's mentioning, rahimahullah ta'ala, a great benefit, any that we praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this is the way that we are upon, that which has preceded from holding fast to that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon, and his companions radiyallahu anhum, and those who followed them precisely from those first three generations, those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had praised in his book, and those whom the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has praised in his authentic sunnah. He said, we're holding fast to their way, and this is the praising, and we're praising and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning we're not bragging, rather than we're speaking about the blessing and the favor of Allah, alhamdulillah, saying alhamdulillah I'm a Muslim. But to even be more clear, alhamdulillah I'm a Muslim upon the way of the pious predecessors, alhamdulillah I have the creed and the belief and the methodology and the understanding of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his noble companions radiyallahu anhum, and I follow restrictedly that which they were upon. I understand the text of the Quran and the Sunnah and the manner that they understood it, and anything that's contrary to that or not known in their day, then I'll be silent and not speak. Whatever they spoke about and whatever they believed in, I learn it and I follow it. I love it and I prefer it and I establish it in my life, and everything that's contrary to that, I leave it and I detest it and I turn away from it and I do not get involved, and I suffice with that which sufficed them. Alhamdulillah. Praising and thanking Allah for this affair. Not bragging, not boasting, but rather mentioning the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, of this great blessing, and also as well mentioning what is an obligation for every believer to follow as well. So not only is this the favor that he's mentioning that Allah favored him with, but also this is a blessing that every believer should strive to obtain. And it's an obligation to have the exact same creed and the exact same belief. And to believe in that which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, that which was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and that which he taught to his companions, is an obligation to follow. Is an obligation to believe in the manner that they believed. As for in the amount that they believed, then this is not possible. They were selected and chosen. They have the strongest faith. The faith of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the strongest of faith after the prophets and messengers. And likewise, Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum. So we cannot reach that level of how much in the strength that they believe. But as for the way that they believed and that which they believed in, then this is an incumbent obligation to follow upon every believer. The author, he mentioned in closing of this brief introduction, Rahimahullahu ta'ala, wa nas'alu Allah ta'ala an yuthabbitana wa ikhwanana al-muslimina bil-qawli al-thabiti fil hayati al-dunya wa fil akhirah wa yahaba lana minhu rahmatan innahu huwa al-wahhab. And we ask Allah the Most High to make us and our Muslim brothers firm with the firm statement in this life and in the hereafter. And that he bestow upon us a mercy from himself. Indeed, he is Al-Wahhab, the one who bestows. And in reference to two verses in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who can identify the first one? أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس لعلهم يتذكرون ومثل كلمة خبيثة كشجرة خبيثة اجتثت من فوق الأرض ما لها من قرار يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ويضل الله الظالمين ويفعل الله ما يشاء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his book in Surah Ibrahim, he struck an example in a parable of kalima tayyiba, the good word, like a shajara tayyiba, like a good tree, like that of a good tree. Asluha thabitun wa far'uha fi sama, its foundation is firm and its branches are high in the air. And reference to the aqidah, and reference to the creed. So the creed is like a tree. The good word, the statement la ilaha illallah, is the foundation of the creed. The statement La ilaha illallah is the foundation of the creed, and it's being referred to or it's being resembled to like that of a tree in the heart of a believer. If it's cultivated and it's kept clean and nourished properly, it will grow and produce fruits at all times. Tu'ti ukulaha kulla hinin bi'idni rabbiha. It will bestow fruits, blessings, and goodness at all times by the permission of its Lord. So this is in reference to this verse. And يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. This is the good word that Allah, he will make firm in this life and the hereafter those who believe with a firm word, with a firm statement, the statement of التوحيد, لا إله إلا الله. And this is the reference to the first verse. The second verse, وَنْ يَهَبَ لَنَا مِنْهُ رَحْمَةً إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْوَهَابِ. نعم أحسنت. سورة آل عمران, ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب.
These are very important verses for a believer to know and to understand with regards to creed, no doubt. So the author, he says, رحمه الله, ولأهمية هذا الموضوع وتفرق أهواء الخلق فيه أحببت أن أكتب على سبيل الاختصار عقيدتنا عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة. So he says, because of the importance of this subject and the dissension and separation, division of the desires of the people with regards to this, because of the importance of this subject and how the desires and the whims of the people have been divided and separated in many different pathways, in many different ways, I'd like to write in a summarized version our creed. I wanted to write in a summarized version our creed, the creed of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. Wa hiya, and it is al-imanu billahi
وملائكته وكتبه ورسوله واليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره. And that is to believe in Allah and in His angels and in His books and in His messengers and in the last day and in the decree, the good of it and the bad of it. سائلا الله تعالى أن يجعل ذلك خالصا لوجهه موافقا لمرضاته نافعا لعباده. Asking Allah the Most High to make that purely for His face alone and in accordance to that which is pleasing to Him and beneficial to His slaves. And beneficial to His slaves. So this is the introduction that the author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, which is very concise yet very beneficial. And after this, he begins with his statement, rahimahullah, aqidatuna, our creed, our creed. And he clarified what he means by saying our creed in the introduction. Aqidatuna, yani aqidata ahla sunnati wal jama'ah, the creed of the people of the sunnah wal jama'ah. And this is very similar to the manner in which al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullahu ta'ala, as well, he began his book, Usul al-Sunnah. You will find great resemblance in the methodology and their arrangement, and even some of the terms and words that are selected and used, or expressions, some of the terms, words, and expressions used by the author in this treatise, similar to the works that have preceded, like the work of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah specifically in al-Wasitiyyah, al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyyah, very, very similar. And likewise here, this issue, aqidatuna, our creed. Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, in the very introduction or in the very beginning of Usul al-Sunnah, he mentioned something very similar. Who knows that? عندنا, Usul al-Sunnah عندنا. He began the treatise like Usul al-Sunnah. The treatise is called Usul al-Sunnah, the foundations of the Sunnah. And he began by saying, rahimahullah, Usul al-Sunnah عندنا أتمسكوا بما كان عليه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والاقتداء بهم, until the end. But the point is, he said, Usul al-Sunnah عندنا, the foundations of the Sunnah with us. And who is referring to? With us, عندنا, يعني عند أهل السنة والجماعة, and the people, with regards to the people of the Sunnah. Well, not me. Not, he's not referring to himself. Like the Sheikh here, he's not referring to himself. Aqidatuna, our creed. This is what I believe in. This is what I believe in. Yes, but referring to the creed of the people of the Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So the creed is not for Sheikh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. The creed is not for Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. The creed is not for Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. The creed is not for any individual. Rather, this is the creed that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever we see these terms, aqidah to so-and-so, aqidah like this from the people of the sunnah, any meaning that he is the one who gathered the creed, he's the one who gathered these issues and clarified them and written them. As for the creed, then it is derived from the book and the sunnah and understanding and understood from the salaf of this ummah. And one issue that clarifies the correct creed is that regardless of the era or the time or regardless of the race or the land that the author he lives in, if he is truly from the people of the sunnah, then whenever you read those works, you will find as if they're written from one pen and that it has come from one heart. Or if you hear it, it's as if it's coming from one tongue. And maybe this one who wrote this creed, he lived in the 100 years or so after the hijrah. Maybe you'll read another scholar from the scholars of the sunnah and you'll read his creed and he died in the year 200 or afterwards, and another maybe in the year 400, and another maybe in the year 600, and another maybe in the year 700, all the way until this day. And maybe this one he was from al-Iraq, and maybe this one he was from Misr, and maybe this one he is from al-Madinah, and maybe this one he was from Andalus, maybe this one he's from this land, and this one is from that land. But all of them, whenever they speak about the affairs of the creed, all of them, their statements are one. And all of them, they have the same position and understanding, and they do not differ in the issues of creed. This is a foundation that does not change. This is a foundation that does not change. And this is an evidence for the correctness of the people of truth, that regardless of their time or their era or their age or their land, they all have the same belief, and they're all in accordance with this in the same statement in the affairs of the creed. As for the people of deviation, as for the people of desires, then they're always differing and they're always in contradiction. They're always differing and always in contradiction. And you will read this one. He has his own creed. The Maturidiyah, they have their own way. And the Ash'ariyah, they have their own way. And the Qadariyah and the Mu'tazila and so on and so forth. Even amongst themselves, they differ. Even amongst themselves, they differ in the foundations of the creed. In the foundations of the creed, they cannot help but differ whenever they oppose the methodology and deriving the creed. And this is from the book and the Sunnah, according to the understanding of the Salaf, the best of this Ummah, from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the Atba' Tabi'een, radiyallahu anhum, radiyallahu anhum. So here we have the issue of this term, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. Who knows the earliest date this term was used? Is this something that is just used recently, or is this a terminology that is well known for generations, or who has a benefit with regards to this? What? Ahsanta. We can say it in another manner. Maybe it'll be the question will be more clear. Was this term used in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Was this term used in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why not? Because the people of innovation, there's no separation, there's no dissension, there's no deviation, there's no desires. There are Muslims and there are disbelievers. And amongst the Muslims, there are hypocrites that had the ruling of the Muslims. They had the rulings of the Muslims. But there is no one introducing innovations or following another way, ascribing to Islam falsely. Ascribing to Islam falsely. They're not following different ways and deviated paths, claiming that it's Islam. Not in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of them are following one way. So all of them are united, outwardly united, and following the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was not until after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise the death of Abu Bakr, and then Umar radiyallahu anhuma, and then until the time of Uthman radiyallahu anhu, whenever the empire of Islam began to spread, and the enemies of Islam, they were very jealous and had great animosity and enmity in their hearts, and rancor and hatred, and they could not do anything except submit to the command. To the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they began to introduce innovations and deviations, attempting to corrupt the Muslims from within. And they started introducing doubts and deviations in the creed. And this is whenever the deviant sects that came, they came about likewise. And the Khawarij, they rose up. And the Rafi'ah, they rose up. And then very briefly after that, the Qadariyah, they rose up. And also the Murji'ah and the Mu'tazila, so on and so forth, they began to arise after this time. So all of them, they're ascribing to Al-Islam, and all of them claiming to follow the book and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, claiming to follow the book and the Sunnah. So the true scholars of Hadith and the people of the Sunnah, rightfully, they established this term to clarify and distinguish themselves from those who claim, so that their way would be clear. And they began to write in defense of the Sunnah and clarifying the creed. But this term, it was known in the early generations. Even it's been narrated from Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhum, this term here, Ahl Sunnah, and in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, Yawma tabyadu wujuhun wa taswaddu wujuh, on the day, meaning the day of resurrection, whenever some faces they'll be bright and lightened, and others they will be dark and gloomy. Ibn Abbas, and it's been mentioned in the tafasir, that is narrated from him radiyallahu anhuma, that he said, Yawma tabyadu wujuhu ahl sunnati wa itilaf, on the day whenever the people of the sunnah and harmony, their faces will be enlightened and bright. وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ أَهْلِ الْبِدَعِ وَالْإِخْتِلَافِ, and the faces of the people of innovation and deviation, they will become gloomy. They will become gloomy and dark. So it's been mentioned even, and it's been referred even back to Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhum, and also after him from the likes of Al-Hassan al-Basri. It's narrated from him that he used this term, أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ رَحِمَهُ. He died in the year 110. He died in the year 110. Another great scholar of Hadith as well, from the scholars of the Sunnah, who died in the same year. What year was that? 110. His name is Muhammad ibn Sirin. Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah ta'ala. He also used this term. And he mentioned in his famous statement, which is collected by Al-Imam Muslim in the introduction of his Sahih, في مقدمة صحيحه, في مقدمة صحيح مسلم, رحمه الله تعالى, لم يكونوا يسألون عن الإسناد, لم يكونوا يسألون عن الإسناد, that they did not used to ask about the chain. They did not used to ask about the chain. What does that mean? They did not used to ask about the chain. They, he died in 110, so he's from the Tabi'een, and he's from the students of Anas and the likes, and he's from the students of the companions. They didn't used to ask about the chain. Who? And his teachers before him, from the Kibar, the Tabi'een, and from the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. They did not used to ask about the chain. What does that mean? Give me the chain. What does that mean? The narrators. Who did you hear this narration from? This narration here, you're ascribing it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who told you that? Who told you? Who did you hear that from? Who narrated to you that narration? Who mentioned to you that narration? Who heard that narrate? Who did you hear that from? Who did you learn that from? Who are your teachers? Who are your teachers? Who are your teachers? Like this is what they are. Lam yakunu yasaluna anas. They didn't used to do this. They didn't used to do this. And because the companions are all truthful and they never lie. Alhamdulillah. And likewise, after them, the major Tabi'in from them, the majority of them likewise were upright and reliable and truthful. And also the memorizations were very strong. And then later and later, the issue began to become corrupted and deviation became to enter and the likes like this. So he said, فَلَمَّا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةُ قَالُوا سَمُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. But whenever the fitna occurred, they said, name for us your men. And he tell us who you heard these narrations from. These issues that you're ascribing to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where did you get that from? Who told you that? Who did you hear that from? Who did you take that knowledge from? Who is your teacher? What is his name? Where is he from? Where is he from? Like this, they became very serious. فَلَمَّا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةِ. Whenever the fitna happened, قَالُوا سَمُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. They said, tell us who your narrators are. Tell us who your men are. Tell us who your teachers are. Tell us who you heard these narrations from. Who told you that about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is the fitna being referred to here? فَلَمَّا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةِ. He died in 110. They didn't before in the early days used to ask. بِالْمُنَاسِبَ, Ibn Sirin, he's from the very first of the scholars of Jarh wa Ta'diyah, from the very first to distinguish the narrators, say this man right here, he's a liar. So-and-so, the son of so-and-so, he's a liar. So-and-so, the son of so-and-so, he's an innovator. So-and-so, the son of so-and-so, he's from the people of Sunnah. So-and-so, the son of so-and-so, he's upright, he's strong. So-and-so, the son of so-and-so, he's good, but he has a weak memory. So-and-so, the son of so-and-so, he was good, but then he lost his books. So like he's from the very first of the people, him and his Sha'bi, rahimahullah, who died before him by a year approximately. They're the very first who began to criticize the narrators of hadith, the narrators of hadith. So he's saying, فَلَمَّا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةِ. What is the fitna? Huh? مَقْتَلْ عُثْمَان. مَقْتَلْ عُثْمَان. Whenever Uthman was killed, whenever Uthman was murdered, this is the fitna that's being referred to. At this time, this is the fitna that's being referred to. But what's the reality of that? فَلَمَّا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةُ قَالُوا سَمُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. Whenever the fitna occurred, what is the fitna? The murder of Uthman. At this time, the murder of Uthman, this time what did they say? سَمُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. Tell us who your men are. But what? So the fitna here is referring to the murder of Uthman radiallahu anhu. But what is really being referred to? What happened at that time? The Saba'iyya, they came. And the Rafila that came, and the Khawaris that came. At this time, the people began to differ. The creed began to differ. You have people who are Khawarij. You have people who are Rafila. They have people claiming that Ali is the ilah. They have many deviant sects. Now the creed began to corrupt. The dissension occurred. And this one is following that way, and that one is following that way. And now these affairs here, they necessitate that a person is not reliable. A person who follows the way of the Khawarij, he's not reliable, even if he memorized all of the narrations. A person who followed this deviant way, he's not reliable, even if he was smart and very educated, even if he had great understanding outwardly in the affairs of the religion. But he's following a deviant way now. He has left the straight path. He's not reliable. We cannot trust him. We cannot take narrations from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from that person. So whenever the people, they started to divide in their creed, like this one going this way, he's Khariji, this one's going this way, he's Rafidi, and so on and so forth. Now they said, سَمُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. سَمُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. Then what did he say after that? Rahimahullah. فَيُنْظَرُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ فَيُؤْخَذُ حَدِيثُهُمْ. This is the shahid. فَيُنظَرُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ فَيُؤْخَذُ حَدِيثُهُمْ. So we would look, it will be looked to the people of the sunnah, and their narrations will be accepted. وَيُنظَرُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعَةِ فَلَا يُؤْخَذُ حَدِيثُهُمْ. And we will look, and it will be looked to the people of innovation, and their narrations will not be accepted. And their narrations will not be accepted. The shahid is that Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, he died in the 110, he's using this term. And he's clarifying the reason. He's clarifying the reason and the wisdom that we will look to the people of the sunnah, the people who are reliable and trustworthy in their creed and their faith and their deen and their methodology and their way, and we will accept their narrations. And we will look into the people of innovation, those who oppose them in any aspect from these foundations, and we will not accept their narrations. So whenever the deviation occurred and the dissension in the ranks occurred and the creeds became many, and each one had his own ideology and each one had his own way, at this time this term was said by the people of knowledge to distinguish the people of truth from the people of falsehood. Because the people of falsehood, they do not say, I'm a person of falsehood. Rather, they say, I'm a person of truth. And the people of innovation, they don't say, I'm following innovation. Rather, they say, I'm following the truth. And the devil, he's lying on the straight path. He's not lying far away. Rather, he's lying and waiting on the straight path. And he would decorate it and make it seem like it's good. He would decorate it and make it seem like it's good. And this is called shubha, putting the falsehood in the clothing or the garment of the truth. And the garment of the truth. So this was their way. So at this time, the people of Sunnah, they distinguished themselves by this term, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And they were united upon the proper creed and proper belief. Just as the companions before them, radiallahu anhum, although before Islam and the blessing and favor of Allah upon them, they were dissension and divided in many different tribes, fighting and killing one another. Whenever the blessing of Allah came, about Islam and the proper creed and belief, they were united. They're united. So likewise, those who follow them after them, they are united in this manner. So this is the term Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And inshallah, tomorrow we will begin reading the treatise from where it begins, Aqidatuna, our creed. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.